So if you can take your hand out and just look at that, and we'll jump right into it. So if you look at your handout, and this is a subject that is becoming increasingly important for us to kind of get our minds around, because we are in a situation that, unlike anything we've ever been in before, for the most part, when it comes to some inroads that are being made into our lives through the advent of the cell phones. And I want to share with you an illustration that will help us kind of put us in to a maybe historically kind of where we're at. So I was reading a book about a year ago, and it gave this history lesson. And it told us, it mentioned that, well, I'll just kind of read my notes here. Back in the early 1800s in England, now this is the early 1800s in England, and it was discussing the development of the steam-powered passenger train. Okay, now, if you didn't get goosebumps when I said that, that's okay, okay? Because I don't know how much you're into steam-powered passenger trains, but probably not a lot. If you are, that'll be a good conversation to have afterwards. But probably not very many people are going to talk with you about it. So it'll be a lonely conversation. But here's what the researcher said. So hang in with me for a moment. This is actually fascinating. Prior to 1830, he said, virtually, in England, prior to 1830, there are virtually no railroads. Okay, so it's like, okay, so just lock that in. What kind of transportation did they probably have and did have prior to the 1830s in England?
Sail ship,
okay, what else?
Horses.
Horse and buggy horses? Feet? Yeah, and so the way that is said here is it was horse-drawn carriages or coaches. Right? So that makes sense. Like the Amish or whatever.
Right.
However, by 1850, there were 5,000 miles of train track crisscrossing the landscape. 20 years, 5,000 miles of train track. And there was a magazine back in those days, or a paper called The Economist, which may still be around today. And it said this, that in the time of Adam traveled, they would say, about 4 miles per hour if he would walk. So a human walks about 4 miles an hour, apparently. The Economist said, speaking about their own situation with the train, 4,000 years later, in their math, by 1828, you could go about 10 miles an hour. Because you had the horse and carriage. By 1850, you could go up to 70 miles an hour. And what this did is it revolutionized everything. The advent of the steam-powered train. But it also opened the door to something that had never been heard of before. You know what that thing was? Train robberies. And there is something called the Great Train Robbery of 1855. And it was so phenomenal that there were a number of train robberies as this developed. The 1855 train robbery was something that happened while the train was going along the track, and these people broke into the train car that had tons of gold and everything, and they made away with it. And before the train ever came into the station, and no one ever figured it out for a long time, they stuffed it with something else. They had a man that was... the man who helped him on the inside was a man who had, they made him look like he was dead. And they put him in a coffin, and they put spices or something. They had a smell, and they locked him in there. And the coffins, apparently, in those days were in the same place as the safes were. And he comes out of that coffin, and a guy comes along the top of the train while it's moving. I mean, it's almost impossible what happened. He climbs down. He picks the lock. They open the door. And they put fake stuff in the safe that was the same weight as the gold or whatever. Came back out. I guess the guy got back in the coffin, whatever. And the Great Train Robbery of 1855. And these guys, eventually, some of them made off and never were. They were caught, but then eventually let off. And they never did find the money. Okay. Now, what's the whole point of that? Every once in a while, a development comes along in society that actually becomes a revolution. It revolutionizes everything. And that's what trains did. And of course, the automobile would follow later on. And what happened is it connected the whole world. See, if you can train, if you can take a train across the country, as you would know back in the day, back in the 1800s, so people didn't travel very far, did they? Because you couldn't, because it would take you 3 days to get 20 miles down the road or whatever. So if you're going to go down to the next big town, it was an event. A train, you could, in 30 minutes, you could be wherever, you'd be all over the place. Every once in a while, something comes along that revolutionizes everything. And that's where cell phones come into play. This is a development in the electronic world that has radically changed everything as we know it. And my concern and my burden is, as I told the men, one reason I'm concerned about the phone is because this is where a large percentage of sexual activity goes on a regular basis, right here. And that's where my concern is. But also, even if a person's not looking at sexual stuff, there's a lot of things that go on in here that have nothing to do with God at all. Is that true?
Right.
Nothing to do with God at all. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful, but it's about this world. Okay? Not everything about this world is sinful, right? But the Bible says we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Is that true?
Right.
And much of our behavior with the cell phone is exactly like the world behaves. There is like no difference, many times, between how a Christian uses their cell phone and how an unbeliever does. We're like always on it. Now, in case you think I'm like a prude or something that just doesn't like technology, I have one. Did you notice? I didn't steal this. This is actually mine. Good, right? That I didn't steal it? But I can be a person who loves God and be too involved with stuff on here. And even if I'm not looking at sexual things, like it's very known that it's done this way. 62% of online porn usage is on the phone. I can become a very worldly-centered person when I'm supposed to be otherworldly-centered. Is that true? I'm supposed to be about eternal realities. Is that true?
Yes.
We just talked about it. Not temporal realities. And what happens is this has caused a revolution in people's lives, so now they cannot be very long at all, just moments of time, maybe minutes of time, where they feel like they have to look at their phone. And my contention is this: we've got to get back to where we have some biblical guidelines for this, because if not, the next generation won't have any.
Right.
And already right now, you can go into a restaurant and there's a family of four, I've seen it, and they're all sitting there, and what are they? They're all on their tablets or phones. Is that true?
Yes.
This is not even shocking anymore. I mean, it may be shocking to see it again, but it's not like I've never seen that before. I have a picture on my phone. I'll show it to you afterwards if you want to see it. I went to get my driver's license changed on Wednesday, I think it was, or Thursday. And we were waiting in line there, and everybody's on their phone. Okay? Now, I'm not saying it's sin. I'm saying, why are we doing this? Why every spare moment are we doing this as opposed to sometimes reading this? It's almost the same size. But one has to do with the other world, and one has to do with this world.
Yes.
And my contention is the more we're involved with this, the less we're involved with this many times. Not always, but it's without dispute. It is indisputable. It's actually a point that cannot be argued. This is taking away time from this in most people's lives.
Yes, sir.
Because this is working itself into nooks and crannies of our time during the day that you never even thought about it before. But you're waiting in line to get your license changed, so you have 3 minutes of downtime, and you're on your phone. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, because I'm making sure that no one says, he's just this Bible-thumping guy that is not connected to reality. What I'm saying is this: if we don't challenge the fact that something like this can enter into every down moment of my life, and never challenge the fact of, is this hurting me in some way, or should something else be implanted in those moments? So you know what I did? I'm standing there in the line, and it wasn't like on purpose, and I got out my Bible. And I was reading my Bible, and you know, I ran across some really neat verses in Psalms. I wrote them down and brought them here with me that were a blessing in those little nooks and crannies of why I was waiting to get my license changed. Now you might say, well, that's kind of weird. Standing there in line reading your Bible? I'm just not that type of person. Apparently, you're not very cool because cool people would never do that. Okay. But you say, that's weird to read your Bible in line? Is this not weird? That you're in line or at the restaurant or in your living room and nobody's talking or looking at the other person. It used to be that when a lady walked in the room, people would stand up back in the day, right? Some places teach that if an adult walks in the room, children should stand up. Today, you can be on your phone. Nobody stands up. They don't even look up.
Right.
And my contention is this. It's not all about God. And if it's not all about God, then it opens up to the devil being able to take advantage of it. Because God would not be all about me just in my world, not even knowing what's going on around me. For instance, now hopefully if this is true, I would not know this is true of this church, but if it is, hopefully it'll like be the end of it by me mentioning it, because it's just it's not off the cuff, but it's, I don't know who I might be preaching to. In our good independent Baptist churches, many times people are sitting in church on their phone before the service starts.
Yeah.
Now there's so we have a problem brewing here. You know what the problem is? We're so used to filling the phone. The phone fills in the nooks and crannies of our life. So that I sit down in God's house, and my first inclination is, if I have any downtime at all, am I exaggerating this? I'm not exaggerating one moment. If I have any downtime at all, I reach for my phone. This is what happens in the world today. And here's my problem. An unsaved person could walk in the back door, and those who are used to doing this would not even know they walked in. If a visitor walked in, they wouldn't know, because you know what? They're checking Fox News or One News Network. Or, you know, they're checking the sports score. They're catching their email. They're checking for a text from so-and-so. They're checking, you know, Instagram, whatever it is. I'm not saying it's sinful. What I'm saying is, can that be right? That we're so used to, outside of church, being so engrossed in every downtime phone. And we even do it in church, where it proves that we're not even here for what God would be here for. God is about other people, isn't he?
Amen.
And I'm not about other people. I'm about... So sometimes a development becomes a revolution. And the revolution has started and has taken over the world. And of course, there's probably billions of these phones out there. And we want to look at 10 principles about biblical ethics for phone usage, because what has happened is when the trains began to happen, it created a new level of crime, which was the train robbery. With this phone is created a new level of crime, which is this. There's a lot of damage being done to Christians, and I think it's about time someone stands up and gives us some common sense guidelines. And you don't have to have my guidelines, but shouldn't there be some guidelines? As opposed to, if I was your guys' dad or granddad or whatever, and I'm always looking at my phone, let's say I'm your dad. I know your dad, and he's not here right now. If you're my children, if my kids are always seeing my wife and I on our phones, what are they going to do when I finally get them their phone at 16? They're going to do what they always saw. Now, they're going to be looking at other stuff that I'm looking, from what I'm looking at. Maybe I'm doing church business. Maybe I'm doing ministry type stuff. But the point is, when I'm sitting over there in my lazy boy chair, nobody has any idea what I'm doing. And it usually doesn't have... When I'm standing in that line, you know what I did? I ended up giving out 3 tracts by the time I was done. I think just three. But I put away the phone, and I was reading my Bible, and people saw me reading my Bible. And you might say, well, I don't think you need to do that. People don't need to see you reading your Bible. But what I'm saying is, I got out of the cell phone world into the world of the lost. And I was able to give out some tracts. Now, will they get saved or not? I don't know. But for sure they won't if when I'm standing in line, I'm all about this. I'm training myself to be self-absorbed, which is a sign that I'm very alive to myself. Because if you're alive to yourself, it's about yourself, which is what I want to do. So let's just look at these for a moment. And I wonder, do you need help with this? And if you don't, should it not be that we as adults would begin to have a new standard of how we use our phone so that we can teach it to the next generation? There's some biblical guidelines about the phone. So the phone can be used either for good or for bad, and I'm not saying it's all bad at all. I haven't said that word once. What I'm saying is that we've got to make sure that we are doing the biblical thing with it. So at the top of your page there, biblical ethics. So these are Christian teachings for the use of biblical personal technology. But look at the verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so we all know this verse, but can you take your Bible and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so to the adults, I would say, please listen to this and see if you don't need to change your habits. To the young people, I'd say, if you don't even have a phone, you need to make some decision, I think, maybe soon, maybe today, about how you're going to use your phone, because it makes all the difference in that we're not just captive to the next technology that comes down the pike, because there will be more advances coming down the pike. Is that true?
Right.
There will be other changes that are coming down the pike. We don't know what they are. You can't imagine something that's any more revolutionary that you can have the World Wide Web in your pocket. But there will be other advances. And we've got to begin to approach technology as if God has something to say about something that takes so much of my time and my life. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Because if I'm dead to myself, I'm concerned about my use of time and the use of my life. And this right here is a single-handedly killing us. It just is. And in my world, it's important that we have guidelines because of what then people are using it for, because there are no guidelines, as it were, that are being trumpeted very much. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and look at verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul here is saying, all things are lawful for me. So you could say the phone is lawful. There's not a sin to have a phone. It's not a sin to use a phone. I mean, we're talking about a smartphone. We're not talking about making a phone call on it. We're talking about mostly people aren't making phone calls on it these days when they're standing in line. They're surfing or they're looking at something. And Paul says, they're lawful for me. I mean, there's nothing morally wrong with a phone. But all things are not expedient. They're not beneficial for me. That's what the word means. It's not always beneficial. But then he says this, all things are lawful for me. A second principle is this, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And the question is, are we being brought under the power of our cell phones? And Paul here is saying then that the Christian will sometimes limit themselves, put limits on their freedom, so that they won't be brought under the power of something, so they can live for Christ. All right, so biblical ethics. These are 10 Christian values that should influence our use of personal technology. Now, you may not have a problem with the cell phone, so I want you to think about what technology is it taking a lot of your time. It could be video games. It could be, of course, it may not be the cell phone at all, but it could be on your personal computer. You're shopping a lot, or Dave Ramsey says the two biggest addictions that the internet has brought to us are pornography and gambling. Okay, so I'm not saying you have a problem with that either, but a lot of time is being spent on social media. Is that true? Now, is social media a sin? No. But it's very addictive, as we talked about. It's very addictive, and of course was meant to be addictive, and that's what the unsaved world is fine with, making stuff addictive. The Christians cannot be brought under the power of these things.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Okay, so what are the Christian principles that now we have to look at because of this advent of this technology? Well, first of all, the Christian value of God first. Okay, you can just write that in there if you don't mind. The Christian value of God first, and what I mean by that is God first in the day. Okay, so you can just write that next to it. God first in the day. So when you wake up, when you first wake up in the morning, who should get your first thoughts? Yeah, so it's easy to say that because we're in church, right? And the answer to every question is God. Right? But seriously, let's think about it. Is that true? That it would seem to be, not just because it's a churchy answer, but wouldn't it, if we stop to reflect, wouldn't it seem that as great as God is? Now, he may not get my first thoughts, but if I had an option, who should get them? Okay? Now, that is what it is. But what is the so what? Well, the so what is this. You know what's getting my first attention and my first thoughts? Checking my updates. Checking the notifications. Checking how many likes I got. Checking my email. The principle of God first. Psalm 143, verse 8. You can write these verses down underneath if you want to. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Psalm 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. So it's the concept of early praise to God and letting God know that I love him and that I appreciate him. You know, he's been watching over us all night long. Psalm 139, 17, and 18 says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me? And he says, when I wake, I'm still with you. God's been watching us all night long, and maybe we should just wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Maybe not the very first thing is to check something somebody sent us. Number two, the Christian value of God last in the day. The Christian value of God last in the day. I tell our men this that I work with, I say to them often, may our last and best thoughts be of God. That's what I say to him. Might be a good phrase to think about. At the end of a day, our last and best thoughts should be of God. Wouldn't that give great credence to how great he is? That my last and best thoughts are not what's on the news or, you know, some family discussion. My last and best thoughts should be, if I'm drifting off to sleep, I love you. Amen. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting up with me. My last and best thoughts. Amen. It just makes sense that if we're going to say, yeah, that sounds like to a God who's that great, he probably should get my last thoughts before I drift off to sleep because he's going to be up all night watching over me. And all I'm saying is this. This is not a sin. But if this is getting my last and best, my last thoughts, could that be encroaching on God's territory? Of what I could be allowing my mind to do with God, loving God with all my mind. I have to be careful. God last in the day. That song, Be Thou My Vision, says, thou my best thought by day or by night. La, 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 la. If I keep singing, it's going to clear the building out very fast. So. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Isn't that interesting? God actually wants our best thoughts. And that means I'm going to have to give him my best thoughts, and I need to try to give him a lot of that. Number three, the Christian value of being others involved and others centered. Others involved and others centered. So again, this is in opposition to ignoring others. And the very nature of cell phone use is that we essentially ignore others. Now, no one here is going to say, I purposely ignore others, but that's what happens. Okay? So think about your own life. Next time you're driving down the street, if you're married, you're driving down the street and your husband's driving and you're sitting there on your phone. I'm not saying it's a sin, but I'm saying there's no conversation going on. There's no conversation going on with the kids. There's no talking about anything. It's all on my phone. And when the kids grow up and they're going to go on vacation, now everybody's got their tablet or their iPad or whatever it is, and it's just expected that we can't go more than an hour without we're bored to death. We got to have our technology going. So now cars, of course, they have the screens right on the back of the seats. We're teaching everybody to always have to have something going on in their head and mind, something that's new, exciting, interesting, fun. And we've lost the ability to be still. We have violated the principle of being still so you can hear God's voice. We don't even know what it means. In essence. Galatians 5:13, you might want to write this verse down. For we are called unto liberty, for brethren, we are called to liberty, but use not your liberty to fulfill the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we've been called to liberty, so we're in liberty. So I can't tell you can't use your phone for however you want to. What I'm saying is, Paul says in Galatians 5:13, don't use your liberty to do what you want to do, but use your liberty to, by love, serve one another. We're supposed to be burden bearers. We're supposed to be other-centered, not self-absorbed. We're supposed to be disciplers, not gamers. We're not supposed to be internet, social media zombies. Number four, the Christian value of self-control. The Christian value of self-control. 1 Corinthians 9, you could write down 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. But Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There's the Christian value of self-control. Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit? The last one, temperance, which is self-control. When you reach for your phone, or you just are constantly going back to it, or we're not having any guidelines that says to us, I don't want my kids to do this, and not just because they're going to be, you know, into their social media, but maybe I shouldn't be doing it, like when I'm just checking my email for something important. It may not be that we have to be that connected. And are checking our text, do you know that there's probably no life or death text you're ever going to get? You're probably never going to get a life or death text. You might say, get a text that says, pray for me. You're probably never going to get one that says, I'm choking in the bathroom, come in here. Okay? Checking in the bathroom. Oh, spell checker. I spelled bathroom wrong. Is that a period or is it a question mark? Should I put a smiley face or a frown face? And it's like,
yeah.
Dead. Right. You're just going to die. Just go on to heaven, okay? Leave the phone behind. But the point is, you're probably never going to get a life or death text, but we check them like there's life or death.
Right.
We have to, what was that? So now I'm reading my Bible in the morning, and my cell phone, I get a notification, or the screen lights up. You know what I do? I check it. Why? That's what we do. Even if God was speaking to me, oh, what's that? Oh, I'll get back to her later. Maybe God said, why'd you shove me off for her? Turns out to not to be important. What if it was important anyway? The point is, it wasn't life or death important. Maybe what you're reading today is spiritually life or death important. You need to connect with me. Number five, the Christian value of proper and wise time use. James 4:14, what is your life? Is it even a vapor that vanishes away? One study found that people on average do 88 hours of using their phone a month online. Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The next one, the Christian value of a life example. The Christian value of a life example. What do people think of when they think of you? What do people think of when they think of you? You know, it used to be that we'd talk about people being a man or woman of the word, or a man or woman of prayer. Now it's a man or woman of the phone. We think of people because they're just always tuned in. What example are you passing to your children when you are sitting there every day on your phone day after day? 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation. The Christian value of a life example. Number seven. So look, number six is the Christian value of a life example. Example by my life. Number seven, the Christian value of discernment. We have to ask ourselves, can this be right that the culture has swept into this and Christians do too? Everybody's on their phone all the time. Number eight, the Christian value of God-centeredness. The Christian value of God-centeredness. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We are created for God's pleasure. Number 9, the Christian value of a life well lived. The Christian value of a life well lived and well developed. Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I myself, my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." 2 Timothy 4:7, "I fought the faith, I finished my course, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of glory." The Christian value of a life well lived. You know, the reason we have to have these principles is because if we don't have some, the next generation is not going to know what to do with the next technology advancement. And the devil is going to find a way in because there's no rules. There's just no God-centeredness. We just buy the next thing because that's what you do. You just stay up to date. You buy the next thing. You stay current. You get the fast computer. You stream. You do it all. And maybe that's not your thing, but that's the Christian world. I live in it. Number 10, the Christian value of diligently pursuing God's best. The Christian value of diligently pursuing God's best. Trading the good for the better. Trading the trivial for the important. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." So there's a time to be on your phone, and there's a time not to be on your phone. And I just want to leave us with this. 1 Corinthians 6:12 talks about not being brought under the power of any. Think about it. If you don't have rules, you may not be under the power of it, but it may, your children may get under the power of it. Galatians 5:13 talks about, "Use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh." Don't use your liberty just to do what you want. 1 Corinthians 10:31 talks about, "Do all to God's glory." Is that what's going on here when I'm looking at my phone for 7-8 hours a day? Even say, "Well, I just do business on the phone also." Well, I think that you can then maybe do business on your desktop and leave the phone that would keep you from business into personal and into fun and business personal. And what it does, it takes you out of being involved with other people. Yes. So what do you do when you're tempted to look at your phone before you go to bed? Or in the afternoon or in the evening when you're done with work and you're just kind of tired? I have 3 suggestions. Think about this. To replace the addiction to this, I'd recommend you think of one of these 3 things that you could read or pray or sleep. And if you'll say, "You know what? When I'm tempted to look at my phone, just because I'm bored for the moment, or just because I'm sitting down after work after a long day, and I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is it's addictive." And if you begin to think, "What could I do in place of just looking at my phone?" Even if it's legitimate, you're checking your email, you're checking whatever. What I'm saying is it's not legitimate in many cases for a lot of people. Read or pray or sleep. Do you know what? That's how it used to be before cell phones hijacked our train. When we had downtime, we could read the Bible, or we could pray, or maybe we could get some much-needed rest. But today, it all becomes about the cell phone. And I just want to encourage you, make sure that when the Bible says, "Therefore, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do," is this something we do? It is, and we're supposed to do it all to the glory of God. This cell phone should be a way that I can glorify God, not just to fill in the afternoon or those down 5 minutes while I'm waiting for the bank line to move, or my order to come through from McDonald's, or whatever it is. Does every spare moment have to go to something besides God? And what I say is, put God back in his place. In heaven, it's all about God, and God's looking for people who are going to say, "Technology or not, I'm not going to let it be a revolution in my life to change me away from learning to have a quiet heart and not have to be distracted by something in my hand, or I'm like a person who's getting off of cigarettes. I have to have something." That's what this is. It's the new addiction, and God's saying, stay with him, do it to his glory. Don't use it as an occasion to flesh, your liberty that could do it, but by love serve one another, be focused on other people. Don't use it in church. I mean, if you're using it for your Bible, that's a discussion you're going to have with your pastor, but obviously we think, you know, use your real Bible. But be aware of who's coming in the back door. Be aware of, if you have a downtime before the service starts tomorrow morning, bow your head and pray for 30 seconds. Don't just check one more score or one more email. Yes, sir.
You had something on your table on clean
Yes.
It's like that.
Yeah. As far as I see, right, the clean internet is a filter, okay, that blocks objectionable sites. But you can also, and I recommend it for people who need to have objectionable sites blocked, but it can you can set it up to block. It comes, the default is set with all social media blocked except for YouTube. Now all I have to do is make a phone call and say, can you unblock Pinterest or whatever? But it blocks it because it knows these are often where people, you know, the social media is where people often get in trouble, and they're working to a Christian market, so they block these things by default because that's where the trouble is. But they know that this is where the time sinks are, you know. So, yeah, I recommend that. I recommend also Accountable to You, which is an accountability software, so you can know where people are when they're online. It gives a report every day or every week, and it's very helpful. But there are some other ones, not those two. If you have Android phone, the Accountable to You can track texting. So you can see all the texts that your kids would have, for instance, as long as tracking everything, including private browsing or anything like this. Then there's other ones you can get that will monitor TikTok and all sorts of things. So, but the point is that if we're not going to be on top of our technology, then we don't know what's going on because we're all used to, is this true? Families are all on their phone all the time, right? And so therefore, because I'm always on my phone, I may not be so concerned about what is my son doing on his phone? Because I'm assuming he's a good boy. Well, the thing is this. He may not be looking for trouble, but trouble's going to find him.
Yes, sir.
That's what the devil's doing. The devil is using this, and it is absolutely, without argument, diminishing. It's taking away my time that I could be put into other good purposes, including being involved with my family and finding out what's going on in their hearts, spending time with them, and it's pretty much centered on this is the culprit. And I've given into it because it's so acceptable. And I'm just trying to tell people this is about the same size and it weighs about the same amount. And this is what I need to fill my mind with. And this is what I need to fill my time with. And if I get myself a New Testament, like many of you have, when you're in line next time at McDonald's waiting for your drive-through to move, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. As opposed to saying, oh, look what Nancy Pelosi's up to. They're trying to ram this bill through the Senate. Well, guess what? They are. But that's not going to do anything for anybody.
Right.
That bill will come or go. She'll come or go. Maybe go sooner than later, right? But this, I can be a person who loves God with all my mind. And I think it's valuable to talk about it. All right, let's pray together, and I'll turn over to Pastor. Father, thank you for all you do for us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of, is my technology actually taking away time that I could be spent on thinking about you or praying for others or reading a good book or getting some much-needed rest. Lord, help my last and best thoughts.